The piney woods were full of sound, trees cracking and falling to their death, the knell of axes echoing into green, the mewl of baby hawks waiting for mama's catch, bullfrogs and barn owls, the call of crows and the purring of doves, the screams of a black man, the slowing of a heart, all captured, hushed, and held under the colossal fur of pine and oak, magnolia, hickory, and sweet gum. Needles and capillary branches interlaced to make an enormous net so that whatever rose never broke through to sky. The woods held stories, too, and emotions and objects, a tear of sleeve, bits of hair, long buried bones, lost buttons. But mostly, the piney woods hoarded sound. Like the sharp squeak of a wheel from a child's wagon turning round and round, a rusted radio flyer being pulled by a little brown boy rattling with a lunch pail of chicken and dumplings, biscuits with fig preserves stuffed inside, collard greens and a special dessert wrapped in a red and white napkin. The boy named Ephraim pulled the wagon with great anticipation. He guessed what dessert his big sister had put in his pail. She'd made one just like it for his 11th birthday 4 months ago, the White Lay Angel Cake. His mouth watered so that he stopped under the big trees and opened the cloth. He was right. He nibbled one corner and covered it. He paused for a second, opened it again, then crammed the slice into his mouth. It was like eating sweet air. When he was done, he shook the napkin over his face to catch any crumbs, brushed off, and walked until he smelled the water. There were two suns at Marion Lake, the one high above and the one floating on the surface. The water was a blue mirror, surrounded by 100 trees and 1,000,000 frogs. Ephraim took off his shoes and cooled his toes first thing. He loved Marion Lake, especially on Sunday morning when nobody else was there. He used to go on Saturdays before his mama had gone, but only after he'd finished his chores. She was very firm about that. Ephraim watched the water swirl and skim, not too far from shore. He knew the fish would be biting. He baited a bent nail with a bit of fatback from Celia's slop jar, then hoisted his branch pole between two rocks and sat down to eat his dinner. Ephraim knew he might sit there for hours and never catch a fish. Sometimes he'd feel one tussle with a line. He'd pull it above water and see those invisible teeth still grabbing a hold of the bait, scales flashing silver, tail twisting, single glass eyes staring straight ahead until they realized the spot they were in and let go. Flop, splosh, down into the sky water until it was out of sight. His real mother had called it feeding, not fishing. He guessed that was true. Otha Beatrice Jennings always took notice of the little things. Maybe that's why she'd been such a good lace maker. Ephraim wondered if they let her make lace up where she was now. He sure hoped so. The chicken and dumplings were good, not as good as Mama's, but Celia was a good cook, even though she was too bossy about it. She was bossy about everything since their father, the Reverend, had been asked to step down by the elders. He would mumble at bedtime to no one in particular, "That was a mighty unchristian thing for a pack of Christians to do." To make matters worse, the acting preacher was Elder Rankin's cousin and a part-time janitor at the Piggly Wiggly in Newton, who had only recently heard the call. The Reverend renamed it the Piggly Service, then bade Celia and Ephraim to never cross its threshold. "We'll have church in our own house 52 Sundays a year, whether I'm here or no." Celia had kept the faith, making Ephraim memorize huge sections of Leviticus and Revelation and recite them perfectly each Sabbath. When the Reverend was in town, Sunday mornings before breakfast and after chores, Ephraim and Celia would kneel and he would preach, while eggs turned to yellow glue and pancakes shriveled and died. Long. And sometimes he would pour two fingers of rye and slip a sip between Ephesians 1 and 2 until he dozed off. That had happened that very morning, in fact. Celia had scraped their breakfast into the bin, made the Reverend some coffee, then fixed Ephraim's dinner and told him to go play. He had just finished eating and was sitting with his pole when he spotted them, Maggie Wilkins, and the quiet little girl beside her. They were across the lake. The girl tiptoed and leaned in, her nose almost touching Margaret's cheek.